Welcome to the first Sunday in Lent. It's important to say in Lent, not of Lent. We can talk about that maybe some other time. If you are a member of any Episcopal church, if you have been a member of any Episcopal church for some time, or if you come to the church from a Catholic background or Orthodox or Lutheran, Lent should be familiar to you, just a little bit. If you come from a more evangelical background, or from no particular faith background, let me give you my 2-minute Lent primer. And if you know me, when I say 2 minutes, I mean 10 minutes. We can't talk about Lent unless we first talk about Easter. We have Lent because we had the first at Easter. Everything in the Christian year starts with resurrection, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Easter is important and so special because after Jesus was raised from the dead, he extended that everlasting life to all who believed in him, including you and me. Easter is the happiest day because it reminds us that we too will be resurrected and live forever. A long time ago, Christian people thought to themselves, you know what? The fact that we get to live forever, that's kind of a big deal. You know what we should do? We should have a party. A big party. In fact, we should have a party for 50 days. And that became the Easter season. And sometime after that, the early Christians said, you know what? What God has given to us in Easter is so good and so lovely and so everlasting that we should say thank you to God and give God a gift from us. That is Lent. Lent is our gift to God if we would offer it. So what does our Lenten gift look like? First of all, it looks like us being intentional about our relationship with God. It looks like us taking stock of our lives and taking a good, hard look at ourselves and shining a light into the dark places of our heart, taking a good, hard look at our sins against God and our neighbor and strangers, and then starting, at least, starting to make amends for those things. It looks like us being intentional about our prayers and our worship and our service to the poor and to the community. And it looks like us, especially right now, it looks like us working for peace in the world and also in our neighborhood and in our homes. Most of all, it looks like us being intentional. That's the word for Lent, intentional. About living a life of love, just like Jesus. And here at Christ Church, our Lenten theme this year is this: open our hearts, O Lord. It's a prayer from us to God. Open our hearts, O Lord. And so we ask today And over the next 40 days or 46 days, depending on how you're counting, what does it mean for us to open our hearts to God? As I said, we have 40 days plus 6 Sundays to contemplate that, and more importantly, to take action on it. And, sure, if you like, you can do something up. Something that takes you away from God, or you can take something up. Something that brings you closer to God. But what's most important is that you give yourself over to the season, the whole season of Lent. Choose today. We weren't able to be here on Ash Wednesday to start Lent. If today is your first day in Lent, choose today to be intentional about Lent. Lent is a season. Yes, a season of repentance, of turning back to God, of sorrow for the wrongs we have done. But it's also a season of mercy, care, and even joy when we do decide to turn back to God. So listen, please, listen week by week to the stories of our faith. You will hear stories about devils and angels. You'll hear of foxes and hens and jackals and even ostriches, believe it or not. That's all coming. You will hear stories about worthless trees and burning bushes, about a reckless brother and of a jealous brother and a father who loves them both. You'll hear a story about a woman and her luxurious gift, and a story about a king riding on a donkey. All of that is coming. Listen intentionally, please, because in those same stories, you find the story of our salvation. So start with a short story about our favorite topic for all of us, temptation, temptation. As we heard, Jesus, right after he was baptized, but before he started his public ministry, he was led by the Spirit into the desert wilderness, where he prayed and he fasted and he contended with the devil, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. 40 days. Just yesterday, I saw, I think it was in, on Facebook, I saw a one-frame comic about Jesus' temptation. It was actually in the comic, it was a picture, a comic of Mary. And you could see that Mary was reading a note that Jesus had left for her. And the note said, "Dear Mom, I'm going camping in the wilderness with Satan. I didn't take any supplies, but don't worry, we'll be back in 40 days." And it was funny, I guess. But what I didn't like about the comic is that it conveyed the idea that it was sort of predetermined that Jesus would overcome all of those temptations. And that's not how temptation works. If you can easily resist it, it's not a temptation. So this wasn't Jesus sort of hiking around with the devil, and every once in a while, the devil offers him a sandwich. And he says, "No, thank you." not as sanitized as that. But how to understand, to understand this story and something about our lives, we have to understand that Jesus really wanted to eat. I think every hour, every minute, for 40 days, right? That's how hunger works. You ever been that kind of hungry? That's how hunger works, and that's how temptation works. It's important for us to remember that though Jesus was the Son of God and divine, he was also like us in every other way. He was fully human. And he was literally starving. He had the power to do something about his very real hunger, but he didn't. It's the same with the other two temptations, right? The devil offered temporal kingship over the whole created world. In other words, he offered Jesus all of the political power and authority that he could ever want. And Jesus said no. And finally, the devil offered Jesus the ability to fly down from the parapet and from a great height. Basically, was offering him, offering Jesus the ability to do magic tricks in order to gain fame and adulation. That's what those three temptations are about. In all three cases, Jesus had to feel real temptation. As if he said, you know, I really don't want to feel hunger. I don't have to. Because I'm the Son of God. I'm divine. And I do want political power. I can get it because I'm the Son of God. And I do want fame and adulation. And I can get it because I'm the Son of God. I want those things. That's how temptation works. So in the case of Jesus, he chose not to give in to his temptation. Why did Jesus choose rightly? Because he knew. Like, whatever part of him that is not fully human would not be redeemed. Salvation for humanity will only work if Jesus is fully human. If Jesus couldn't really be tempted, then he couldn't really be fully human. He had to be tempted. He must have been tempted in every way that we are. That's the only way that this sacrifice can work. Jesus resisted his very real temptation on account of his love for us. That's the reason why he resisted those temptations, because he loved us. He resisted temptation so that we could be saved. As for us, though we are fallen and imperfect, when we are tempted, whether it's by power or riches, or fame, or any of the other devils or false gods that can try to attempt us, we can at least try to imitate Jesus and resist temptation. At least try. And to live for God and for others. And when we fall, and we will, and when we fall, we'll fall on grace and get up and try again. This Lent, spend some time in prayer and contemplation, asking yourself, what tempts me to move away from God? How, with God's help, can I resist temptation? How can I overcome them? And how does overcoming my temptation contribute to self-giving love in the world that we're trying to build in partnership with Jesus? Open your heart. Open your hearts this holy season of Lent to see the beauty of the coming Easter, and in advance of that, to give God the gift of your love.